This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive, of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page at the same site and through iTunes. The epistle reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is Galatians 3, verses 16 to 22, a history lesson from St. Paul on the roots of the Christian faith in the Mosaic Law. It is another, like the reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity, which focuses on the real meaning of righteousness. But this time, St. Paul is saying that righteousness did not come to mankind through the law, but as a gift offered mankind through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, who is called the mediator of the new covenant for those who believe in him. The gospel reading is Luke 10, verses 29 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is the ninth of 12 selections in Trinity season from the Gospel of St. Luke, and another that is unique to St. Luke's gospel. I discuss this parable and include two illustrations, a 17th century Dutch painting and a remarkable 18th century Russian Orthodox icon in episode 17 in New Testament Gospels and Epistles, part of the AIC's free online Bible study courses linked from the Bible study page. The direct URL address is http://www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/bible-study.html. This time, the time is the fall of 29 AD, just a few months after the reading for Trinity 12. Understanding the parable requires knowledge of the relationship between Samaria and the Jews and between Jesus and Samaria. In chapter 9, verses 52 to 56, just prior to this reading, Luke wrote of how the people of Samaria had refused to allow Jesus to enter the city, accusing him of being too tied to Judaism, and of how this provoked James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, known by Jesus as sons of thunder for their impetuous ways, to wish to, quote, bid fire come down from heaven and consume, unquote, all of Samaria in verse 54b. This hostility will become more important when we come to the final verse in the parable. While I will discuss the parable in 21st century language, I will do so influenced by how Christians in the early church understood the story's imagery. The six characters, not counting Jesus, taken in order of their appearance, are the lawyer, the traveler, the temple priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, and the innkeeper. The first character we meet is the lawyer, who respectfully addresses Jesus as teacher, or in some translations, rabbi, which is the Hebrew word. He asks Jesus a question in verse 25, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The lawyer symbolizes the Pharisees, especially their great knowledge of the law and their obsession with detail, for these are the people who calculated that there were not 10, but 613 commandments. Jesus, knowing what was in the lawyer's mind, based on the fact that the Jews did not believe in eternal life, understood that his intent was to entrap him to produce an answer which the Jewish authorities would call blasphemy. Jesus, and in his role as teacher, turned the tables, asking two questions in verse 26. What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? The lawyer answered with paraphrases of two Old Testament verses, Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind," and Leviticus 19:18, "and your neighbor as yourself." Just as an historical footnote, Jesus used these same two quotations a year later in answering the question of what is the greatest commandment, a similarly trick question, in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied to the lawyer in verse 28, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." The lawyer, undeterred by Jesus' carefully crafted answer, which certainly was not the one he wanted, asked another question in verse 29, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus' answer to this third question is the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which he introduces us to the second character, the traveler. In the parable, the man's journey from the starting point of Jerusalem to his finishing point in Jericho should be taken as symbols for all of mankind, because the traveler represents mankind's perilous journey through earthly light, from the peace of Jerusalem, the city of peace, to Jericho, which even then had a bad reputation for its degenerate ways. The traveler's journey symbolizes the risky path the faithful travel in a hostile world. Attacked and robbed of his clothes and his possessions, beaten, he was left for dead by the side of the road, or half-dead in the NKJV text. The half-dead man on the ground is encountered by the third character, the temple priest, who in verse 31 crosses the road to avoid what to him was an unclean object. In the words of St. Ambrose of Milan, the great 5th century saint, the temple priest kept the letter of the law but violated its spirit. Upon this scene in verse 32 comes the fourth character, the Levite, a descendant of the class who had served in the temple since the days of Moses and whose job was to guard the beliefs of the Jewish faith. He is a living, walking symbol of the heritage of the Hebrew prophets. Like the temple priest before him, he sees the object in the road as something unclean and crosses the road to avoid it. Taken together, the first three characters, the lawyer, the temple priest, and the Levite, represent the failure of the old law or covenant in its rejection of the spiritual meaning of the message of the prophets. They observed the technicality of the law, doing what was legally correct, but violated its spiritual meaning. All three, either in word or deed or both, demonstrate the difference between true righteousness and the appearance of righteousness that has been the focus of these teaching theme homilies on many of the Trinity season Sundays. Into the mix in verses 33 to 35 comes the fifth character, the Samaritan. The inhabitants of Samaria, a region centered on the city of Samaria, were a non-Jewish people living in what had been the northern kingdom before its conquest by the Assyrians and then the Persians. A prosperous region with plenteous water and fertile land, its relationship with the Hebrew people was extremely strained. Samaritans rejected Jewish racial and food purity laws. The relationship was so strained that the Samaritan offer to contribute financially to the restoration of the temple after the return from Babylon was rejected. The Jews were also displeased with the Samaritans in that the Samaritans were more willing than they to accept the rule of Rome over their territory. Given this history of hostility, it is clear that the word good, the modern title for the Samaritan in the parable, would never have been applied to by any Jew to any resident of Samaria. The Samaritan enters riding on an unidentified beast, probably a humble mule. Upon seeing the body in the road, which was the half-dead traveler, he dismounts and goes to investigate. He anoints the traveler with oil and wine, a medically correct technique at that time, and sets the traveler upon his own mule and takes him to an inn. At this unnamed inn in verse 35, we meet our sixth and last character, indirectly anyway, the innkeeper. The Samaritan gives the innkeeper 2 denarii, which was 2 days' wages for the average man at that time, and instructs the innkeeper to take care of the beaten man, and further, promising to return and pay the innkeeper any further expenses beyond the 2 denarii he might incur in the traveler's care. The Samaritan is a symbol of the presence of Christ in the world. With his compassionate deeds, he displays the love which Christ taught, a behavior fitting for the righteous man who has taken the teachings of both the Old and the New Testament into his heart. In many Eastern church teachings, the anointing of the traveler with oil and wine has a parallel in the sacraments of the church. This non-Jew, not the temple priest, not the Levite, both of whom were trained in scripture and Hebrew tradition, who was the only one who showed genuine compassion for his fellow man and did what was right as a condition for entry into the kingdom of God where one inherits eternal life, from the lawyer's initial question in verse 25. Finally, the innkeeper is a symbol of the church in the world, the place where those in need find relief, both spiritually and physically, the steward of the Christian faith, where spiritual healing can take place for those in need. At the end of the account, in verse 36, Jesus turns again to the first character, the lawyer, asking another teaching question. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? To which the lawyer answered in verse 37a, he who showed mercy on him. And to which Jesus replied in verse 37b, go and do likewise. The first of my 2 closing prayers is from the Eastern Church of the 4th century, which is also used as the 6th prayer in third hour in the AIC Bookstore publication, Hear Us, O Lord, Daily Offices for the Laity. And the second is the collect for the 13th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of thy divine words, and fill us with the understanding of thy holy gospel and the riches of thy divine gifts and the indwelling of thine Holy Spirit, and give us joy to keep thy commandments and accomplish them and fulfill thy will and to be accounted worthy of the blessings and the mercies that are from thee, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, of whose only gift it cometh that thy faithful people do unto thee true and laudable service, grant, we beseech thee, that we may so faithfully serve thee in this life that we fail not finally to attain thy heavenly promises through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.